Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from our wild animal compound in Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson on the, I am of course the animal guy, on this wild world on Blog Talk Radio. Hello to our listeners from around the world and across North America. Behind the controls of this radio missile, and it is a missile, Billy Willard, and from the Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, the honorable, distinguished, and always prompt, and he was here on time, as always, again this week, the honorable, distinguished, and always regular, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson. Hey, you know what I was thinking? It's about that time of the year when you have to move the alligators inside.
Oh, you're right. Yes, we were talking about that today, and it'll be within the next 7 days or so. We're watching the weather to see if all the 70-degree days are gone, because we want to give them every bit of sunshine before we move them inside. But you know our plan on that, Dr. Day, is we wait until it's about a 40-degree day, and it's like moving sacks of potatoes.
Yes, that's much easier.
When I was younger and much dumber, I would do it on a 70 or 75 degree day, and my gosh, it was like catching a half a dozen wild alligators, and it was so as I've gotten older, I've gotten smarter. Though I have to tell you today, Dr. Day, I wasn't very smart at all, because I think I've lost part of my hairline.
Oh no.
Oh yes, we were at Southern Wells Elementary School in the community of Ponito, Indiana. You ever been to Ponito?
I don't believe I have. I've been.
Billy Willard,
Ponito's
you ever been
brain.
To Ponito, Indiana?
I have never been there.
Oh, it's quite the scenic spot. It's one of the highlights of the state of Indiana. And we were at Southern Wells Elementary. Mr. Purcell is the principal there. They've got a fine group of students and staff. And that baboon of ours, Elizabeth, she was doing a half flip across the table from Cheryl to myself. She caught herself and made a jump down, and she pulled out about two handfuls of hair, not on purpose, I don't think, but it was a sizable amount, and my hairline has changed dramatically.
When I first met her, she ripped my shirt off, and she was just a baby.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's all love, you know. I keep telling myself
it's all love.
Yeah. So whatever the circumstances may be. We want to tell everyone that you can call into our show, listen to us on the telephone, and if you would like to speak to us a little bit later on the show, have any questions or comments, or it's at 347-855-8123, and of course a little bit later on the show, our Teacher of the Year, Amy Swihart, will be with us, telling us the latest news in the first grade. And in the past, Dr. Day, she's had first grade animal questions for us, and we haven't done very well.
We've been studying, though. We're going to try to do better tonight.
I have been studying. I've been reading National Geographic with great vigor, so hopefully.
Well, we need to get some first grade books, I guess.
You know, you're right. And the other day I was in a bookstore, and I found myself in the children's book section looking at what the kids read. And I'll tell you what, it's a heck of a lot better than what the grown-ups read. We want to remind everyone that this part of our program is brought to you by ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. Chautauqua, how is that spelled, Dr. Day? Do you know?
C-A-Tauqua.
C-H-A-U-T-A-Q-U-A. Do you have that? Are you taking notes?
Yes, it's written down. I will never forget it again.
ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. You can get the 6 hours of video featuring Billy Willard, our studio producer, Melissa Hovey, Wayne Larson, Steve Cole, myself, and the infamous Bob Gimlin from the Patterson-Gimlin film. It's available for $4.99, so go to the website, check it out. It's absolutely phenomenal. And before I forget tonight, because I did last week, Melissa Hovey, who is usually our studio producer, Billy Willard has been so kind to take over her duties. She's up with her dad in Iowa, and he's having a tough go of it, and we hope them they have the best. We send our prayers out to Melissa Hovey and her family.
Yes, we do.
In Iowa, and we hope everything works out okay. This is the reason ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com, Larry Batson's Wild World, is on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News. Well, it's that time of the year again. The humpback whales have begun to arrive in the Hawaiian waters.
Oh, good.
Yes, they're coming down from Alaska.
Mm.
Now, humpback whales spend summers feeding in Alaska where they mate and then decide to vacation off of Hawaii when they give birth.
And they call them dumb animals.
Yeah, exactly. All right, now you're going to love this next story. Truckee, California. Local police said they had to break the window out of an SUV over the weekend after a bear locked himself inside. Yeah. Now, the incident was the third time in the past 2 weeks that a bear has been stuck inside a vehicle in the Northern California mountain town.
Was the bear okay?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he was fine. The upholstery wasn't so good.
Do you remember many years ago, Dr. Day, we had two bears called Bud and George?
Oh, yes.
We had them in the animal truck, and we stopped for one reason or the other, and we just forgot to put the latch on their little door, and they walked out of their door inside of our truck, and they literally ate all the upholstery off the seat.
Yes, yes, I remember that.
And what was remarkable about it, Billy Willard, is that the seats were quite a bit more comfortable.
Oh, yeah, they were. They're much,
no
much padding. Better to ride in, yes.
And they were good. They were like 300 pounds apiece.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, those were the best-behaved bears. You'd tell them to get, you know, from their kennel into the truck, and they'd just mosey on in and get in their kennel.
Well, yeah, you're right. We have a couple dandies now, Buck and Faith. In fact, I was just out with them moments ago, and they remind me a lot of Bud and George. But, they ate all the upholstery off the seat of the animal truck. But it was more comfortable. Anyway, for what it's worth.
All right. Well, if you've ever wondered what a normal day was for a bison, now we're going to find out.
Oh, good.
Eagleville, Missouri. A herd of bison will have its daily life recorded as part of a National Geographic pilot program. Now, two bison in a herd were fitted with the critter cams, as National Geographic calls them.
Mm.
So, yes, we're going to be able to follow bison around. And,
it's going to be like a Buffalo reality show.
Exactly. Well,
it's going to be called Buffalo Dynasty.
Let's eat a little grass here. Let's go over here and eat a little grass.
Yeah, let's
go over here and eat a little grass. And
yeah, I got a feeling there'll be hours of video that will be have no use whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the cowbirds will probably be the most exciting thing.
Probably.
The tick pickers.
Yeah.
All right, now, when you think of endangered species, you don't normally think about plants. Well, Flagstaff, Arizona. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has added two rare Arizona cactuses to the list of endangered species.
Wow.
The Acuna cactus and the Fricaseum cactus.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, you don't normally think about plants that way, but...
Well, you don't, especially cactus, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there aren't a lot of people who are big fans of cacti.
Boy, you took the words right out of my mouth, Dr. Day.
But I love them.
Yeah, yeah. You ever sat on one before?
Oh, I was in the service stationed in El Paso. Yes, I've had a few experiences with cactus.
I can't say that I've... Oh, wait a minute, I take that back. I have sat on one before. But it was the prickly pear cactus in Florida.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was really nice.
All right, we've got a rare sighting in Buffalo, New York.
Uh-oh.
Bird watchers have been flocking to the Lake Erie and Niagara River waterfronts this week to catch a glimpse of a brown booby. Yes. A gull-like tropical diving bird normally found along the coast of Central America. Yeah, when I lived in Panama, I saw many of them. Now, the strange thing is, it's the first time the brown booby has been sighted in the region.
Really? Never happened before, huh?
Exactly, and I don't know what's so exciting about this brown booby. I like boobies of all colors.
You know, I don't have anything to say. You have a comment
Let's just move on, okay? All right, Melissa Hovey is going to be excited to hear this next story.
Uh-oh.
And as you mentioned earlier, she's our studio producer, and we're hoping the best for her and her family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tacoma, Washington, the zoo debuted an attraction where people can swim with sharks in the South Pacific Aquarium's 240,000-gallon saltwater tank. Yes, you can swim with the sharks now, Melissa.
What does it cost?
Well, I'm not sure what the price is. It opened on Friday.
Yeah.
So let's give it a couple of weeks to see how things go.
Well, there's certain species of sharks, as you know, Dr. Day, that are completely harmless to man.
Oh, sure. But
$20 says it's not full of bull sharks or hammerheads or great whites.
Right, but if you've ever had your arm sucked down a nurse shark's mouth, it's just not a pleasant experience.
And you have?
Yes.
Oh, my.
I didn't do it on purpose, but...
Yeah. Well, God love you.
Yeah, well, it's called the new eye-to-eye shark dive.
Yeah, well, there's so many things we don't know about you, Dr. Day. That's what makes this program each week so special.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, while we're in Washington State, let's fly over to Yakima, where gophers are threatening the airport.
Oh, God.
Yeah, gophers have been tunneling near and under the runway at the Yakima Air Terminal. Now, officials are afraid that they're going to weaken the runway or create a problem if the plane happens to roll off the pavement into the dirt area. But, you know.
What are the runways made out of?
Usually it's asphalt, concrete.
The gophers can tunnel in.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. My Lord. Are these special gophers?
Well, you know, like most rodents, their teeth can grow eighth of an inch a day, and you got to keep chewing. Keep them down, or you won't be able to eat anything.
God bless the airport. I hope they figure out their problem.
Yeah, so just checking. If you're flying into Yakima, I'd call ahead. Check to see what the gopher.
They should call us. We're good at taking care of gophers.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right, our next story is about a pack of wolf experts. Duluth, Minnesota. Wolf experts from 19 nations will meet for a major symposium this weekend focused on the future of the animal and its interactions with people. Yeah,
really?
What do you think about that?
I think it sounds like a big waste of money to me. I don't know if
that's exactly what it sounds like to me.
I take a poll amongst all the wild wolves. How many of you wolves want to interact with people? I bet you don't get one paw up.
That's right. I tell you, they all just need to get together, sit down and say, let's leave them alone and get up and go back home.
Absolutely. That's the dumbest thing.
I know.
Yeah. That's about
all right.
Never mind. Go ahead.
Now, I've seen this a few times. Melbourne, Florida. A reddish algae has dead fish washing up along the shores there in the Indian River, and as you know, dead fish leave a nauseating odor. and it seems to be wafting downtown Melbourne.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
We should send them some Febreze.
Yeah, the red
courtesy
tide is
the wild world staff.
But yeah.
We should send him like 55-gallon drums of Febreze.
Yeah, or just get a crop duster. And
they're just a bunch of criminals anyway, so why should they care? They should be glad they have that island.
That's right.
But we do have several listeners there, so we hope you continue to do so. Listen.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
We can't help it if your town smells like dead fish.
Yeah.
All right, let's
go.
No,
we can't.
Fairbanks, Alaska.
Not our fault.
At the University of Alaska Fairbanks, scientists have won a National Science Foundation grant to study the Pacific walrus.
Oh, cool.
Yes, now, they're only getting $1.7 million in the grant, too.
How many?
$1.7 million.
We would have done it for half of that.
Half of that, easily.
Yeah.
And as we've seen with walrus in the past, they're not the most active animals.
No, they just hang out.
Yeah, so it's a... Yeah.
So they all hang out and say John Lennon wrote a song about us. Hello.
The walrus.
I am the walrus. Cuckoo, could you?
No, the walrus was Paul.
Oh, that's right. The walrus was Paul.
All right. Listen to this fish story. 18-foot-long fish found off the Southern California coast. 18 foot long. Now, this is a small one. A marine scientist instructor was snorkeling off the Southern California coast when he discovered the carcass of an 18-foot-long serpent-like oarfish.
Oh.
Yeah, Jasmine Santana of the Catalina Island Marine Institute needed more than 15 people to help drag the giant sea creature to shore on Sunday.
My God.
If you've never seen an oarfish, you need to check these guys out. They're
Google
pretty
it.
Incredible.
Yes, they
now,
are.
Because the oarfish can dive more than 3,000 feet deep, sightings of the creature are rare. Now, the oarfish can grow more than 50 feet and is the longest bony fish in the world. And they're probably most likely responsible for all the serpent legends throughout history.
Probably so. And there's saltwater. I'm sorry, I wasn't listening carefully enough.
Yeah, off of Catalina Island.
Yeah, okay. The reason I asked that is because I had a friend that I knew who went fishing in Ontario, Canada one time, and he said he saw a part of something that was absolutely huge along the dock that kind of surfaced the water like a big eel. And they just took the boat back to the dock and loaded it back on the trailer and went home. They were not going fishing.
They were done.
So it couldn't have been an oarfish.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. You'll have to see the pictures. Pretty unbelievable. All right, the local news. Now here's a bizarre story out of Seymour. Yes, the home of John Mellencamp.
That's right.
Authorities say the remains of a skinned and decomposed bear have been found in a southern Indiana ditch. Now, a forensic specialist from the University of Indianapolis confirmed remains are those of a bear that was probably killed elsewhere, skinned, and later dumped along a county road there near Seymour.
Well, why would they do that?
I have no idea. That's why I said it's a bizarre story.
What kind of creep would do that?
I don't know. I don't know. It just disturbs me.
It is disturbing.
All right. Now, also locally, I know that you've heard about the Noblesville alligator.
I have. I don't have it here. They didn't call me for once.
I'm sorry that you don't have it, because let me do the story for you.
Okay.
And then we'll decide whether or not this handler should have it. A reptile handler said he did not believe that the 3-foot-long alligator found walking along Interstate 69 in suburban Indianapolis is an escaped pet. Now, are you familiar with Ron Billingsley?
You've said enough.
All right. Ron Billingsley of the Indiana Reptile Expo said an alligator raised as a pet would be calm around people. but the one spotted by the driver on Interstate 69 lunged and hissed.
Yeah.
All right, I'm leaving it to you.
Ron, whatever his name is an idiot.
Thank you.
That's all I can say.
I was just going to turn you loose on that one. And
I can tell you from past history that, my gosh, it's silly to quote the man.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, we took a 9-foot alligator out of a house that a gentleman lived in that they put him in a retirement home. And the landlord told me that before we walked into the room with the alligator that this was a big pet. I told him, sir, it is not a big pet. It may be non-aggressive to the person that has fed it every day, but anyone else, it is like a wild alligator. And he found out firsthand what I was talking about. Because when I finally got on top of the alligator and grabbed his jaws and told him to get that tape over here and let's tape his jaws shut so he didn't take my head off, he said, say what? I said, so that's absolutely the stupidest thing I've heard. Tonight, at least within the last hour, that's the stupidest thing I've heard in the last hour.
Yes, that's why I wanted to turn you loose on that one. Because
thank you.
I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah, reptile. Yeah, whatever.
I have a half a dozen alligators out there. I guarantee you that I've raised from day one that if you go back there, they'll all hiss and jump and try and eat you.
Yes,
myself included.
And you also had a famous alligator, Adolf.
That's right.
And why did we call him Adolf?
Because he once almost ate off two of my fingers.
That's right.
Yes, right.
All right, are you ready for the Wild World Facts of the Day?
I hope so. I'm sitting down.
All right. Now, this is pretty interesting. For running purposes, the shoulder blades on wolves are not attached to the rest of the skeleton.
That's
like
right.
Most animals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a pretty amazing thing.
That's
all
true.
Right, the elephant is Earth's largest land animal, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and as we know, the African elephant is a lot larger than the Asian elephant. Now,
that's right.
Asian elephants can be identified by their smaller, rounded ears, and African elephants' ears resemble the continent of Africa.
And you know what they used to do in all the Johnny Weissmuller Tarzan movies?
Tell me.
They would use Asian elephants because they're easier to handle, and they would make these giant fake ears and put them on the Asian elephants.
Well, like anybody was going to know anyway. And most of those Johnny Weissmuller movies were, the Tarzan movies. You'd hear birds from South America,
but
in Africa.
We still love them, though.
Oh, yeah. They're the best. All right, now, since the whales are coming in, a blue whale weighs as much as 45 elephants.
My goodness.
And is as long as 2 Greyhound buses.
That's unbelievable.
Unbelievable is right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the Wild World News for October 17th.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry's Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters, now HD, in their headquarters of Indianapolis, Indiana. I would like to tell everybody, be sure you check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. It tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do, also our wildlife education programs. And if you would like to contribute to our work that we do by visiting schools with our animals and rescuing alligators and tigers and all sorts of different things, our address is on the page, and we are a 501c3, so it is a tax deduction. So please find it in your heart to send us a contribution at LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. They make it possible for all of us to be here every Thursday night at 10 p.m. on Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. It's that time, everybody. Oh, now she'll be mad.
I am. I'm so mad.
Our teacher of the year from Warsaw, Indiana, on each Thursday night, Amy Schweitzer. That was the wrong music.
What in the world was that?
That was Dave Davies. That was the Kinks. That was way
but
before your time.
That was not my
time.
Paul Stanley. That was not my Paul Stanley. You know how
well,
I feel about
Billy Willard, give her some of the Paul Stanley, please.
Paul Stanley. I want all of him that I can get. Oh. Wow,
we'll
drive you crazy. Oh, yeah, I dressed just for him tonight, but we can't talk about that. That was before
the
show.
No, we can't.
Nobody else needs to know. But you know what? I know this is PG, but what in the world? Brown boobies?
That's a species of
bird.
Dr.
Day. Dr. Day.
Yes.
That is naughty. Brown
boobies. Well, no, the, my favorite is the blue-footed boobie.
I'm sure it is.
Galapagos. Yeah, they're on the Galapagos Islands.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling you don't see those very often, you poor thing.
Yeah. Yeah, because we don't live in Central or South America, right,
that's
Mr.
Right.
That's true.
You have to go for your second choice of boobies, because you can't have your first choice. So.
Well, if we can get to Buffalo, New York, we can see a brown boobie.
I might be heading there tomorrow. I might be going tomorrow. Stop by Billy Willard and pick him up.
Oh, my.
Brown boobies.
Okay, so I had some interesting things happen this week. Do you want to hear them? Just
of
some cute little kid
do.
Posts. And, because I know we've strayed from the animal thing a little bit. Yes, my first graders, we have some facts for you, some things that we want to ask you about and see if you know this stuff. So
okay.
I do have some animal stuff for you.
Okay.
But people always like to hear some of the cute things that kids say. So
they
do. Let me just first tell you this one story. I will make it appropriate. And
okay.
It truly did happen, and I'm going to try and quote this kid exactly because I wrote it down.
Dr. Day said that.
Dr. Day, I'm sure this has never happened to you. Anyway, I went to pick up my kids from PE, gym, and I had three criers because, you know, they don't – usually someone cries because their team lost or, you know, somebody bent their finger the wrong way or whatever. But one of the boys was crying, and I asked him what was wrong. He usually doesn't cry, and he said that he got hit in his privates. Well, that's pretty common. That happens regularly here at school, I'm sure. But a lot of boys just keep it to themselves, but not this little one. But anyway, straight, I told him, I said, hey, buddy, I think you're going to be okay. We're going to the restroom. So on the way back to the classroom, we stopped at the restroom. And he went in, of course, he came back out, and he came up to me, and his tears were dry, and he looked at me, and he said, I went into the bathroom, and I took a look, and it's still purplish, pinkish, bluish, and that's okay, because that's normal, so I think I'm fine. That was TMI, right?
Yeah,
I didn't need to know
God.
That. Yeah. Same day. The same day, later on in the day,
yeah.
I had a guest in my classroom, which was my 18-year-old son, who had planned on skipping school when it was job shadow or college visit day. I said,
mm-hmm.
no, sweetie, you're going to job shadow. So I brought him to school. He was not thrilled because he does not really like kids. And so
he
I made him
like
cut
kids?
Out some stuff. No, my 18-year-old, no. He's
oh.
never having kids, he says.
Oh,
I'm pretty
see.
Sure, don't say this, but I'm pretty sure he likes practicing. Well, not right now, but... practicing,
yeah. Yeah.
But not the actual of becoming a father. So one of the little boys walks up to him and says, one time when I was 4, I farted and poop came out. What? See? That's disgusting. I had 2 TMIs in one day.
Dr. Day, what do you think
that...
Dave Davies would say about that?
Oh, no.
Larry, I'm proud
of you. All I can think of
right
is the
now.
Kiss song. All I can think of is the Kiss song to lick it up.
Got to have the music.
No, you were supposed to play Kiss's song, Lick It Up.
Go ahead, Dr. Day.
Well, there you go. I'm prairie dogging it right now.
Oh, my
oh,
Lord.
God.
So, anyway. anyway, yeah, those were two TMI things that happened in one day to me. I didn't. And the kids say the cutest thing. This wasn't too bad, but it was just so funny. This little girl walks up to me today. She had gotten a picture that someone had taken of her in the office. They had given it to her, and they walked up to her, or she walked up to me with a picture, and she goes, "Look at this picture. I look like such a hillbilly." I'm like, okay, clearly she's listening to her mother, maybe,
yeah,
or her father, because first graders don't usually say that. But it was so stinking cute.
Yeah.
But anyway. So those were some funny things that I had happen to me this week. So
that's hilarious.
Yeah,
it is.
You wish you were here, right?
Yeah, I do. We need to take a short break because I have to go wipe me up. And we'll be right back with Mrs. Swihart. And remember, Dr. Day, always raise your hand when you talk in class.
I'm trying to
remember. Right.
And
no,
that goes for Billy Willard as well. We'll
Billy,
be,
I want some kiss.
Billy Willard.
When you say I want to kiss, I want some kiss.
Yes, yeah, we understand. We'll be right back with Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
We're Rascal Flats. There's a place where ordinary people do extraordinary things every day. That place is called the American Red Cross. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
We'll be right back with our always very popular Mrs. Swihart, our Teacher of the Year, and of course, the Dr. Day, and our studio producer, Billy Willard. We want to tell everyone they're having a tough time of it, but McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. They're open. The Rocky Mountain National Park is open. It's absolutely wonderful time of the year to go there. The fall colors are phenomenal. The mountain peaks are now lightly dusted with snow, so it's an absolutely perfect scenic adventure, I'll tell you that right now. The wildlife has come down from the high country. The elk are in the rut season. They're bugling in the mountains. We've actually seen bighorn sheep right in our back behind our cabins when we stayed at McGregor Mountain Lodge, and it's the place to stay in Estes Park, and you're right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. overlooking the very scenic and quite impressive Deer Mountain. Go to the website, McGregorMountainLodge.com. Michael Hodges is the proprietor there, and you won't be sorry. That's where you need to go stay. They're rebuilding Estes Park. Of course, they had 20 inches of rain, and our good friend Igloo Ed, who was on the show, gosh, I think about 3-4 weeks ago, he's making great strides toward recovery and putting his place back together in Lyons, Colorado, but it's going to be a big road ahead for them. So our prayers are out for McGregor Mountain Lodge. Go to the website, McGregorMountainLodge.com. You won't be sorry, I'll tell you. You can have a fantastic vacation on the Front Range in Colorado. It's absolutely phenomenal. We were discussing recent going-ons to the first grade class at Madison Elementary School in Warsaw, Indiana, and their first grade teacher, Amy Swihard.
Yep,
and she has compiled some questions.
Yes, I have.
For Dr. Day and I, and we're already frightened by that prospect.
Are we smarter than a first grader?
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
Even Billy Willard is a little shaky.
I bet you'll get these. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Don't count
on it. Okay, you ready?
Yes,
I'm ready. Wasting any time. All right, so tell me something. Tell me something. There's something that a rat cannot do. Do you know what it is?
What a rat cannot do.
Yep.
Burp.
Yes! Oh! Score one for you. That stinks.
What did he say?
Burp!
Oh.
Rats cannot burp.
Larry, he didn't raise his hand.
Oh, I didn't raise my hand.
Oh, that's right. It doesn't count because you didn't raise your hand.
Man.
Does not count? Oh, my word.
That's only half.
I'm docking you half a point.
That's what should happen.
Okay, well, that was something that the first graders just learned. And actually, their first grade teacher just learned that, too. And I don't like rats, so I really don't even care if they burp or fart. I have no interest in rats.
The animal guys now learn that, too. I didn't realize it. And I've sent many a rat to a snakes. Never mind.
Well, he didn't burp on the way.
No, he didn't.
Yep. Okay, what is a group of jellyfish called? And if somebody's Googling this, that's so cheating.
I can't. I have
Billy.
Dial-up.
Jellyfish.
Yeah.
Jellyfish.
Yeah, animal guy, you have dial-up.
Conglomeration.
So we're not worried about
you. Conglomeration.
We do know that a group of fish is called a school.
Yeah,
that's right.
So
yeah,
it
that's
could
pretty
be
easy.
Called a college? A college of jellyfish?
I'm telling you, your time's up because you're just never going to get it. Ready?
Yeah.
A group of jellyfish is called a smack.
A smack?
Smack. Not a smack. Smack, like smackdown.
How's it spelled?
S-M-A-C-K.
Well, that I would have never... How
the
about
next
you, Dr.
Time
Day?
You
Did
see,
you know that?
The next time you visit the... Hey, Dr. Day, the next time you visit the nude beach and you're strolling along on the edge there in the waters, you know, and you look into the ocean, that crystal clear water, and you glance over and you see some jellyfish, you better say, hey, look, there is a... That's a smack right there. Right?
Well, since jellyfish are controlled by ocean currents, I would call them a flow of jellyfish and not a smack.
Well, I'm sorry. According to National Geographic, it's a smack.
Well,
he loses then. He doesn't get any points for that. Neither do I.
Right.
We're not doing very well.
Let's have another one.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure, though, by the way, if you're at the nude beach strolling along and you see a smack, you're probably not going to be thinking about what they're called. You're going to be thinking you're going to get the heck out of there, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
True.
Okay. The thing is, first graders love potty talk. I'm not into potty talk, and I highly discourage it. But, you know, I mean, when it comes to science, just some of that happens.
Yeah.
So, there's something really unique about the wombat. Do you know what it is? It has to do with potty talk, by the way.
Oh, well, first of all, it's a marsupial.
Well, yes, but that doesn't have anything to do with potty talk.
How can I say this without being disgusting?
Just do it.
It eats its own poop.
Oh, no. Even, no, dogs do that. Shoot, there's people that do that. No, that's not special. That's not special at all.
It's... and builds a home out of it.
They
you
roll
know what?
They
roll You're never going to guess. Time's up.
They make jewelry out of it.
No.
And sell it at Australian gift shops.
But I dare you to try that. No, wombat waste is cube-shaped.
Mm-hmm. Like an Rubik's Cube?
I don't know.
Like a sugar
cube? We didn't see a picture. Just go with it. Like an ice cube.
Well, then what? How do I say this?
No, we don't know that answer. This is just first grade.
What's their anus shape like to have a cube?
You know what? How about you look into that? You look into that and you let us know on next week's show, okay?
I'm putting Dr. Day on that one. I don't want to touch it.
Wow.
maybe it shapes it after it comes out.
Hey, people do that too, I think.
God.
I hang out with little kids. They do some really weird stuff. Okay, here's your next one. You ready?
Yeah.
Since you're doing so well. By the way, if I win, what is my prize?
We'll give you a brand new CD from the Star Trek movie Insurrection.
Oh, that's exactly what I wanted. You know what I want.
Because
okay.
Neil Norman's going to be our after the hour guest next week. He distributes.
Seriously?
So, yeah.
I'm going to have a nice chat with Neil Norman, by the way.
Yeah, well.
And actually, you don't need to give me one of Neil Norman's CDs because I bet after I talk to Neil Norman, he'll want to give me everything he's got.
Probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All righty, here's your next one. Ready?
Okay. Yeah.
How does herring communicate?
How do they communicate?
I think I'll have a drink while I wait.
Sounds fishy to me. I think they do it through the movement of their tail.
Nope. Once again, this is potty talk. They communicate by passing gas. Yep.
Did the first graders really come up with these? Did they really?
Well, no, this is we look things up in National Geographic, okay?
Oh. Did you have any idea on that one, Dr. Day?
No.
Not.
I guess I wouldn't want to be in a school of herring.
What are they trying to say when they're farting?
Well, I don't know because I don't communicate by passing gas, so I just don't know.
Okay.
I cannot relate.
That's pretty interesting.
I know.
That is.
I thought so. We thought so, too. We thought we would share that with you.
Mm.
Did you know that you can buy bat droppings? Here's another one. Halloween's coming up. Bats. We're starting to talk about bats here in the classroom because that's just a good Halloween thing. Spiders, we're doing the same thing. But did you know that you can buy bat droppings?
Oh, sure.
Oh.
Yeah, how much do they go for?
That's expensive, too.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, you know what?
The last I heard it was like $50 a pound.
Oh, no, I heard the going rate right now is $10 to $12 a pound, but either way, I mean, you know what? Get out there and start getting yourself some.
I had a friend that had an attic that had about 5 feet deep of bat droppings.
Okay.
He would have given you all you would have wanted.
No.
Oh,
no.
It's the best fertilizer in the world.
Yeah, they can, but of course we've had the problem with the white nose disease, so the population of bats has diminished quite a bit in North America. I have another interesting bat story.
Yeah, I don't really like bats, but tell us anyway.
Well, my good friend Jim Fowler, who for many years before your time, Amy Swihart, was co-host of the television program Wild Kingdom. You do know that show?
I'll hover safely here in the helicopter while Jim wrestles the giant anaconda in the swamp.
That's right.
I've seen reruns.
Well, apparently they were in the Amazon, and for some reason one of the crewmen, each night a vampire bat would come in and remove about, several ounces of his blood. He was the only one among the group that the vampire bat chose to do this with. And they finally had to just ship him out, send him back to the States.
Oh.
Yeah, that's my story. And I'll stick to it, too.
Okay.
Yeah,
this
vampire
one,
bat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? This one right here I have. The kids thought this was very interesting. And it's really, you're going to get it because you get a 50-50 chance. But what is a zookeeper bit by more often, a zebra or a tiger?
Oh, a zebra.
Oh, a zebra, yeah.
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 I mean, the kids all guessed. You know, we did thumbs up if you think it's a zebra, thumbs down if you think it's a tiger. And the kids all said tiger. It's a zebra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I knew.
They're very
that
aggressive.
One, but...
I had a friend who years ago used to deal in zebras, and he had a donkey that when he was taking the zebras via trailer, you know, livestock trailer, he'd always put this donkey in with him to keep them calm. And they were involved in an accident, and he was rear-ended, and the zebras literally, oh gosh, this is gross. They literally ate all of the meat off of the donkey's legs. And it took months for the donkey to recover. Yeah, zebras are very aggressive.
Yeah.
Very, very hard to train.
You know what? My son would like to have one. We have a horse, and he says that he thinks that we should get a zebra. And he's trying to, you know, he's nagging for a zebra. Well, heck no, we're not getting a zebra, I can tell you right now. I said, you know what? Animal guy doesn't even have a zebra. But, you know...
They're very
mean. Yeah, but here's the thing. He says, if we get a zebra, we have to lock it up. I said, really? I mean, if someone, he goes, yeah, someone will steal. Like, if someone steals our zebra, it's going to be pretty easy to find somewhere. How many fields have zebras in them?
Yeah,
I mean, you know, somebody will rat out the zebra thief. And besides, we're not getting a zebra anyway. So
they're kind of expensive, too, you might tell him.
It's not in our budget. He's like 4 months behind on his stall rental for his horse.
Oh, well, $25,000 for a zebra would be no big deal for him.
You know what? We told him, when you move out, you can get whatever you want.
There
we
you
don't
go.
Really care.
That's
I'm
what
not
they told
her.
Henry. And now he has a wife.
Yep.
Yeah. He probably wishes he had a zebra. Oh, don't say anything, Dr. Day.
He doesn't have his hand up.
Okay. No, no, no. So, yeah, we're not getting a zebra at my house, and just chickens and a horse and a dog, that's plenty for me.
I would think so.
And kids.
Yeah,
I've got a few of those.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we're down to, like, we have one more baby chick living in the garage, by the way. It's living in a 5-gallon bucket, and you want to know what that chick's name is?
No. What is it?
Bucket. So every morning I say to the youngest, I'm like, hey, you better run out there and give Bucket some food and water before we leave for school. So that's what we call him, Bucket. We're still waiting. We want to know if Bucket's a rooster or a hen, because I'm telling you what, if he's a cocky, he's gone. I am having no more of this hanky-panky going on at the chicken farm at my house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got Bucket living out there in a bucket. I've had enough of that. And we have a few more roosters. Rudy, the Rhode Island Red, he's going this weekend to the neighbors, too. So we're only going to – I think we may be down to just one rooster, and one cock is plenty enough in my book.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well.
So anyway.
Well, once again,
so, hey,
amazing.
Did you –
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I just will talk forever. You know that. Okay, so I also have to tell you this, something else that first graders discovered, that underneath a skunk's fur – their skin is striped, too.
That's right.
So if you shave a skunk, it's still be striped.
It will be, absolutely. And
have you ever shaved a skunk, Dr. Day?
No, I haven't. I would like to, I think, but no, I haven't.
I bet you would. I bet you shaved some things, and maybe, have you? No, don't even tell. No, we don't want to know. But... I almost opened my mouth, but PG, PG, PG.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my favorite skunk story is Mr. Batson used to run a pet store in Speedway called Animal Adventures, and he had a skunk and a scarlet macaw that lived underneath an old antique stove.
And scarlet macaw is a big parrot. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, when you say Speedway, we think of gas stations.
Oh. And it was animal imports.
Animal imports, that's right.
Yeah, our competition was Animal Adventure then. That was in the early 80s.
That's right, yeah. That was a few years ago.
Oh, early 80s.
Every morning when you'd walk in to feed the animals, you'd see that skunk and that parrot come out from underneath the stove.
Yep.
They slept together every night.
And usually the parrot would attack you if it thought you were bothering the skunk. So
yep.
It was not good. But I also have another skunk story. When I was at Old Indiana Fun Park for three long years, the first day of the first season, I get a call on my radio. They said, "Animal guy, there's a family of skunks that was living inside of the Tilt-A-Whirl. No, excuse me, the Scrambler. And when they started up the Scrambler, they didn't realize that the skunks were living in the housing unit where the big engine and motor is. So literally one of the baby skunks had been chewed up amongst the gears, and now there were four other baby skunks with a mama skunk. So they call me to rescue the baby skunks, and I'm thinking right away, well, it'll take me about a half hour to drive home. I'll stop and get some tomato juice on the way. And that's what I'll have to do. So I go over there on a golf cart. They open up the housing. There's the mama skunk, the four babies. And I picked each one up one at a time by the tail, put it in an airline carrier, and caught them all, loaded them up on a golf cart, drove them clear through the park till we got back to the woods, and I set them free. And I did not get sprayed. Now, you're probably thinking, why not? Because I'm the animal guy.
That's right. Hey, do you really think the whole tomato juice thing works anyway?
Yeah, but there's something that works better, and I can't remember the formula for it. I'm
sure
I know my wife Cheryl does.
I know something that works better.
What's
listen
that?
To this. We had this dog when I was growing up. I was like 12, and it was the Lassie dog, the collie, the hairiest dog around. And it went out in the cornfield one morning before school, and it got sprayed by a skunk. And, of course, a couple of my brothers got into it as well. So the dog, what a mess. So, we did the whole tomato juice thing, and it did not work. So I don't know who it was. I think it was my mom, because probably my mom did it, because my dad made my mom do everything. But my mom would call the vet, and they had a suggestion. So I missed school that day because we all smelled really bad. And so my dad says, get in the car. I'm like, all right. I'm like 12 years old. Get in the car. He drives us to the local pharmacy, and we go in, and he picks up a whole bunch of boxes, and I'm just thrilled to death because he's going to let me get a candy bar. So we pick up a bunch of boxes, and we go up to the cash register, and he just kind of lays down some money and walks away and says, I'll meet you out the car. You know what, doggone, if it wasn't about a dozen douches. And yeah, so evidently they recommended that those get sprayed all over the dog, and that would take care of the skunk smell. So I'm left standing there at the counter as a 12-year-old with my candy bar and about a dozen douches. Yeah, thanks, Dad. And so I'm sure the cashier probably thought I had a problem. I don't know. But anyway, I know. So evidently that works. But it's maybe that vinegar and water solution. I don't know.
Billy Willard, do you have any comment that you'd like to make on that?
No, I think I'll steer myself away from that.
Billy, you're awfully quiet.
I stay quiet a lot.
He knows better.
When I open my mouth, I get in trouble.
You know what? That's never stopped me, Billy Willard. I just say what I want to say. Well, most of the time.
Yeah, well, Well, that's interesting because that could just be our fact of the day on a way to get rid of the aroma of skunks because that is a problem, especially if you live in the country.
Yeah.
Now our dog and our two wolves, they know the skunks, so when they see one, they go the opposite direction. There was a time they wouldn't. And they'd walk in the house and you go, oh, oh. And then you'd go in and give them that bath of whatever. I forget the concoction we'd finally found that wasn't too bad. I think peroxide was part of it. Peroxide, tomato juice, Dawn, like they use on the sea
bleach.
Marine animals. Yeah.
A little bit of bleach.
A little bleach, which is really great if you have a black dog. They come out kind of gray afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, they come out
kind of
pink.
My kids thought for the fun of it that they would set live traps every now and then just to see what they would catch before they went to bed. Of course, I have four boys, so that, you know, anything strange like that. And many times we caught skunks, and of course you would have to walk right up to the cage to unlatch it to let them out. And we finally got wise. We would throw an old sheet over the cage. They would immediately spray, and then you've got that little bit of window of time before they are reloaded, and we could open up the latch then and then let them run back into the woods. So, we got smart, but took a while, but it happened. And then, you know, we've caught a lot of raccoons and cats. We've caught the neighbor's cats. They've sort of outgrown that just a little bit, though, thankfully. Although I do sort of miss those days when they would get up early and they'd run out there as fast as they can in their underwear out back, you know, and what they caught. And then they'd run back and tell me, Mom, you know, and what they had in the trap, and I would just say, well, okay. One of you better do something about that.
Good
boys
luck with
fun, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, they are fun. My mom, God love her soul, I'd come home with a bucket of snakes or a bucket of crawdads, and she'd just kind of just go the other direction.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
And little did she know that was the early creation of what is now the animal guy.
She never killed your dream. How cool is that?
No, she didn't. No, absolutely. And the dream continues on. No,
don't ever kill my dream of meeting up with Paul Stanley. Don't ever ruin that.
Absolutely will not. And
just let me believe, okay?
I will. And who knows? 1 week he might be on after the hour.
He's going to be meeting up with me after the hour. It's going to be a face-to-face. For sure. In my dream, and I'm going to dream.
Yeah, I know. Well,
no wonder all my nights are restless nights because of Paul Stanley.
For those who may not know, Paul Stanley is the guitarist of the rock supergroup Kiss.
Kiss.
Swihart is. She's quite the fan. We'll just put it that way. And,
yeah.
We know.
He's definitely my free pass, I'm just saying.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Day, once again, a very provocative and fact-filled program.
We touched a lot of bases here tonight.
You know, a lot of those bases should have just been stolen.
Yes, we should have been called out at first.
Oh,
at
stop.
First. But I think, as always, we hit a grand slam here on Thursday nights. And we want to tell everyone you can go back and listen to past shows and get punished even more than you did tonight. And I need to remember, next week on the program, Neil Norman, who is distributor of most of the science fiction movie soundtracks, the Star Trek, Godzilla, Forbidden Planet, lots. His catalog is huge. He's going to be with us next week on the After the Hour, our program. And, of course, as always, Dr. Henry Day. Wonderful job done tonight, Dr. Day.
Dr. Day, you stayed awake and you raised your hand.
Evening. Well, no, I fell asleep a couple of times, but...
Did you really?
Yeah.
Hey, Dr. Day, I want to give you one more fact real fast.
Okay.
Some turtles breathe out their rear ends. Did you know that?
No, I know a frog's got a watertight... No. No one didn't know that.
Yes, now you
know
do
that.
Know.
I don't
did
remember
the first
of that
graders
first
do know
grade.
That, yes. We read that.
Oh.
Man,
and they giggled
so
and giggled
tonight.
And giggled.
I've got to go back to first grade because I don't remember any of that.
Hey, this is nature. This is science. You know?
I know.
She blinded us like with science.
Facts are facts.
That's true.
I teach them how to add. I teach them how to subtract. I teach them how to read, write, and I teach them how an alternative way for turtles to breed.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah, God.
So needless to say, you will not be with us next time, Dr. Day. You're going to breed out your rear end.
All right, I won't try it.
No, don't do it.
A big thank you to our Teacher of the Year, Amy Swihart. Once again, a wonderful job. And the children are just special. And, of course, Billy Willard for taking care of the controls and keeping us on the air is always a masterful job. Our prayers out to Melissa Hovey and her family. They're having a tough time right now, and I hope the old guy does well because we're definitely praying for him.
Amen.
But, yeah, that's right. Hey, next week, Thursday, 10 p.m., set your clocks. We'll be here. And you've been listening to Larry Batson, the Animal Guy, on Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.